This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
It is new league year day. Hey, today man. At 4 o'clock, new league year for the NFL. Obviously, the Commanders, I think it's interesting to me, they have been relatively cautious as far as free agent spending. But the trades have been massive and where they've really kind of made their bones. Talking about the trades for even going back to the trade deadline last fall, whatever, Halloween, in Marshawn Lattimore, Deebo Samuel, Laremy Tunsil. You know, as we get into this afternoon, there's still going to be big moves. There's probably going to be surprise releases today. Things will happen that nobody's expecting.
Yeah, it always does.
And I think we all should be expect the unexpected, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, this is the time of the year when that goes down. So people have to get their books right, and sometimes you're going to see some casualties. It happens.
For sure. You know what else happens tonight? This is a serious DMV battle. Navy AU from Bender Arena.
All right.
I mean, think about it. It's Mass Ave versus Route 50. Like, I don't know. It's going to be kind of fun. Also, last night, as the preeminent Delaware Blue Hens basketball radio program in the city, the Blue Hens gave it a solid run but fell to the UNC Wilmington Seahawks, the CAA bid. So we're starting to get some automatic qualifiers in.
Yeah.
Lipscomb, High Point, UNC Wilmington, Robert Morris. I believe Robert Morris is in Pittsburgh. Is that right? I'm pretty sure my boy Lee, that we played golf with, started his college career at Robert Morris. Drake, St. Francis. Your Wofford Terriers?
Wofford in there?
That's your team.
No, it's not. But I'm telling you, they can shoot, dog.
Why don't you want to take ownership of Wofford then?
I don't want to take ownership of them. I respected their game. You know, and I watched them play the other night. They are very, very technically sound, and they can shoot some threes, though.
Respect the game.
Yeah.
Well, B-Mitch, it's funny, man. Like, how was traffic for you this morning?
Wasn't bad.
Just Mass Ave was bad. Everything else was, like, kind of doable. I got down here early, though, dropped the girls, kept cruising, all's well. And I generally, like, have time to myself in the car, and I'm just trying to make sense of everything. And I think it's, like, overly dismissive. If people have questions about Washington's moves so far, I think that's fair. That's part of the fun as a fan, is analyzing everything and trying to draw your own conclusions. I just would caution anybody from jumping to conclusions. That's all I'm saying. Like, if you believe, you know for certain that Javon Kinlaw is worse than John Allen, and that's a step back, I would just say to hold on a second. Because if you're talking entire body of work, yes, that's correct. But I had this thought, sorry, Lurch Papa, while I was downstairs in the shower. If you're thinking about last year, yo, Kinlaw was not good last year. Last year was a down year for him. That Jets situation was a mess, all of it. But you know what Kinlaw did last year?
Played in every game.
Played in every game.
Yeah.
What do you tell me the first ability is?
Availability.
John missed 12 regular season games. And frankly, before John got hurt, he wasn't playing his best.
Yeah.
I think there was some real adjustment to a new scheme, new fit, all of that. John did play well in the playoffs. I want to give him credit for that. I think, you know, I reached out to some San Fran people, and they're like, you know, Kinlaw's a really big, strong guy. I think 2023 was his best season. I'm not sure I could say definitively what he does well. I think trying to make a direct Kinlaw to Allen comparison is flawed.
It's very flawed because what it is John signed that last deal. And I've said it to people over and over again, and I'm going to say it again. When you start making a certain level of money, your production have to match that. When your production stops matching the money you're making, that's when they begin to start looking to get out of a deal or get away from you. That's all that happens, and it happens all the time. We see people sign these 4-5 year deals, and right around year three, if their production starts going down, you see people trying to get out of it. That's why most of the deals that you say all the time, oh, 5 year, oh, it's probably a 3 year deal, because that's their off ramp normally. And when if you get to the off ramp, and the ability is starting to slip, they quickly take that exit. But if you are still playing well, they normally give you an extension to keep you around.
The only thing I really find surprising, like if people want to point to a flaw in losing Allen and getting Kinlaw, from a business of football standpoint, you got younger and cheaper.
Yeah.
That's just the reality. John, it turned 30 in January. Now, listen, John's not old. John's going to help in Minnesota. He's a good player. He deserves the money he got. I like John. This is in no way trying to slight John, okay? Kinlaw's a little bit bigger, taller certainly, a little bit younger. He'll turn 28 this fall. John just turned 30. And a little bit cheaper. Now, if you want to ask, I think there's a fair question in, damn, they doubled Kinlaw's salary. Kinlaw's making a lot more now than probably his production would guarantee. But if you look at what he's making in relation to the entire NFL,
he's way down.
I mean, he's not top 20.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can count that far down.
I just
down,
think what happens is.
Now, Grady Jarrett's making a hair less than him. Grady Jarrett's also significantly older. Cam Hayward is making a hair less than him, but he's also older. Like,
Grady Jarrett signed that contract when the salary cap was much lower.
No, Jarrett was released. Jarrett just signed a new deal, but he's also 32.
How much he's making right now?
14.5.
So, but I'm saying his deal, most of these deals that were signed at a certain point. And that's why when they start coming through.
Jared signed
yesterday. I'm not worried about Jared. Yeah. I'm talking about when you start looking at a lot of the deals, the salary cap is now 280 some million.
Yeah.
It was what, 4 or 5 years ago? And a lot of times people see what somebody is making and they're like, oh, I can't believe they're making it because that's what the salary, that's what it produces at this moment.
Where I land on this is, you can argue they overpaid for Kinlaw based on production. And I'm not going to fight you on that. But where Kinlaw ranks and where he will rank by the end of the week, especially you're going to see some restructures, there's going to be a lot of things that happen, is probably the third tier down. Because the top tier of interior defensive linemen are going to – Chris Jones got 32 last year. I don't think anybody's getting that. I think the top tier we've seen in free agency is probably Milton Williams getting 26.
Mm-hmm.
I think anything north of 25 – for interior D linemen is going to be top tier. And, yeah, and maybe that obviously will continue to grow, but like there's not some super D tackle free agent sitting out there that's about to reset the market.
Mm-hmm.
Anything north of 25, maybe that the new baseline becomes Williams at 26, or maybe it becomes 28, maybe it becomes 30, right? But for just talking sake, north of 25 is tier one. That is the creme de la creme.
Mm-hmm.
20 to 25 is going to become tier two. John just cracked that. John got 20 a year from the Vikings. Really, 15 to 20 is going to be your tier three D lineman, and 15 is the bottom of it. So what they're telling you from a salary standpoint is they probably got a tier three player that they think can perform at a tier two level.
People
like the money, you got to reframe how you think about the money with the cap exploding is what I'm trying to explain.
The people are always going to look at it because they look at what they make and what the people making, and it's always too much. But the ultimate thing is they're trying to compare John directly to Kinlaw, and that's not what this deal is. This deal was get somebody at that position where we can get other people at other positions. And they did not feel that John was still producing at the level he was being paid. That's it. You know, it's not a player-for-player trade-out. You know what I mean? It's I'm going to bring this dude in. He's younger. He's going to make less money. And we're going to also be able to improve other positions.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think Johnny Newton is a huge factor in the Javon Kinlaw decision. I think they see a bigger role for Newton. And I think with Allen there, it's harder for Newton to have a larger role. I think the other part of this, I mean, if we're just going to be totally honest, John wasn't going to, at least John didn't want to play this year with no guarantees on his deal, which his old deal that he had with Washington had no guarantees on it. Now, the guarantees are minimal this year. It's 125, but he got a big old bonus to sign in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
He now has $31 million guaranteed, 24 of it guaranteed yesterday when he signed his deal. There's a math equation to this, too. And when the Chiefs did this, when they trade Tooney? Last week? Right?
Yeah,
I think
a week before that.
The Chiefs trade away Joe Tooney. Now, granted, he's a couple years older, but he's also been a way better player than any of the people we're talking about. The Chiefs trade him away for a fourth. And people are like, damn, what is Kansas City doing? This dude's won four Super Bowls. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. He's been really good. Trading him away for a fourth. Some of this is simple math, dude. You are looking at Joe Tooney, who's going to be 33 this fall, and you know you're going to have to pay him, and you don't want to. And you're trying to recalibrate on the fly. I think good teams try to stay ahead of the cap, and I think that's what Washington was trying to do in this decision-making process. I'm not guaranteeing it's going to work, but I think you're overly simplifying, and you're jumping to a conclusion when you're like, Allen's better than Kinlaw, what the hell? So I'm just trying to provide the context of what I think is important.
That statement may be true, but then they may be asking the question, is Allen worth the money what he was expecting to get paid? Maybe that's no in their face, in their mindset. And I think ultimately it comes down to what their mindset is. The people that's paying, they get that decision. They're going to say, does the guy's play match what he's expecting to get paid or getting paid? And off of that, they're going to make their decisions. And when they decide to move on, that's normally it. Has nothing to do with Kinlaw. It's about you're not producing at the amount of money you're making. He wasn't going to sit and take a cut.
On his cap number this year, Kinlaw's slated for about 7.5 against the cap. Johnny Newton slated for about 2.5. Call it 10 between the two of them. Now, we understand Peters doesn't care necessarily about the cap numbers. He cares about the cash going out. Fine. It's still going to be significantly less cash going out than Allen's going to take in year one for both of those players. And I think there is a belief that both of those players will equate to something greater than what Allen's going to give you.
Yeah.
The lost part in this is, now, I don't know that John made any public comments, and I'm not trying to assert that he did, about wanting a new deal, not going to play without guarantees. But I have a feeling that that would have come up by the time we got to July or August. So some of this is just trying, like they said, they want to do right by John. He wanted guarantees. The marketplace with Barrett, go get it.
Yeah.
Then there's the conversation I was thinking more and more. That's kind of been the biggest free agent deal, right? You lose Jeremy Chinn, you bring in Will Harris. To me, that's another money thing. Chinn was really good last year.
Yeah.
And it's entirely possible he replicates that level of play, but it's not like he was a perfect player, somebody that mandated you bring him back. And over the course of his career, for 4 years in Carolina before he signed here, he was excellent as a rookie. I think he came in second in Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
It was a steady downward progression from there. Carolina was also a train wreck. So I don't put much of that on Jeremy.
Totally.
But he's getting paid off the best production of his career. That's what got him paid by the Raiders. Will Harris, we're going to talk to Matt Paris a little later, old friend of the program, and we'll get the word on Harris. But what I can say about Harris, just in what I've watched and what I've talked to people about, what DQ talks about, what Joe Witt talks about, nose for the ball and arrive violently. Mm-hmm. And that's how that dude plays. And again, it's a math equation. He is older, but significantly cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how you arrive at that determination. But there's a bigger picture thing that I think deserves to be discussed kind of at length. And they've made three big trades in the last year. No, not even the last year. The last, hell, 8 calendar months?
Last 2 months.
Since, we'll call it November 1 to today is what, mid-March?
Yeah.
5 months?
Yeah.
Marshawn Lattimore, Deebo Samuel, Laremy Tunsil. These are three veteran players. Three veteran players with all pros on their belt. Three veteran players that have played in big moments with name value. Their jerseys have been sold at team stores. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are established players. It's my understanding. Now, this could change, right? But after speaking with sources on this, and hell, we've already seen it with Lattimore at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They are not. They traded for all of them. I think the only compensation you could argue was possibly too high is Lattimore, and that would be based on last year's production that wasn't great for his standards, but I think he was still hurt. I think Deebo you got for a song. Tunsil, I think the compensation is in your favor should he deliver. Now, I think it's really, really important to point out you traded for veteran, established players, good players, all going into years on their contract or contracts, period, that are under market value for their position.
Yeah.
And the message, the signals from Ashburn are play on this and then we'll figure it out. Show me and then we will figure this out. And that's not to say there's no, like, Tunsil's got $10 million guaranteed coming his way. Deebo has a big roster bonus coming his way. Lattimore doesn't. But still, if you're Deebo Samuel, Brian, and you look at wide receivers, I believe Darius Slayton just got $12 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Deebo is slated to get a $14.5 million roster bonus, I believe. So I don't want to poo-poo that money because it's a lot of money. But Darius Slayton just got $12 million a year. Deebo, if he's a straight-up free agent, the number is higher. Yep. Tutu Atwell got 10. Deami Brown got 10.
Yeah.
Deebo, even coming off a season where he only went for 800 from scrimmage, he's 2 years removed from 1,209 touchdowns. Deebo, there's big money available for a guy like that. And then you flip it over to Tunsil. And we're going to have some Tunsil conversations. He seems like an interesting character that I can't wait to get to know. But if you want to talk the tackle position, the money at tackle, Tunsil's technically making $25 million, but only $10 million guaranteed this year. Darisaw with the Vikings, Andrew Thomas, like the money he's going to be looking for when that comes up, it's going to be big. Talking about the salary cap going up, I think there is real value in the Commander's front office saying, guys, we love you. We traded for you. You're here. We absolutely will take care of you. Let's see it on the field.
Yeah.
I think you get highly motivated players in those instances.
Well, I think the guys just look at what the other guys are getting. That motivates them right there. And they know they got to go out and produce. If I produce, they look at the people signing deals and go, that's my next stop. So it's a good motivational tool. But you got better players, too, also coming into your roster. Helps your team out.
I think Deebo and Tunsil, zero debate. Lattimore, you hope, is fully healthy, and then you get a real assessment of where he's at. Because if he's fully healthy and the play looks like it did last year, you got a problem. If he's fully healthy and he's back to just being a dog shutdown corner, you got away with one, man. And it's a big, big change. Now we'll have to see what happens. Maybe Tunsil and his representation are already talking about a new deal. We'll find that part out.